Hi guys, hope you're doing all right. It's Ryan here from the Nerd Kingdom podcast. I'm here with Chris today.
Hello.
And we've recently watched the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie, and we thought we'd give you a little bit of an opinion on what we thought of it and our opinions generally on how comic book movies are going at this moment in time and how the DC and the Marvel universes are eventually going to elaborate and essentially what we think their end goal is going to be. So what did you think of the movie then, Chris?
Yeah, it was really, really good. I really, really enjoyed it. It was like a breath of fresh air, considering how literally at least 95% of all superhero films are coming out as live action. So it was nice to have a whole new film universe where, you know, they have the option to really sort of delve into the sort of publication history that they have, like with the characters and all the concepts and stuff. Because obviously, considering Marvel, like the MCU, doesn't have full rights to all of their characters pretty much until that merger with Fox happens. They're quite limited with who they can use, and you know, there has to be a lot of sort of under the table deals and whatnot, having to get the rights to use certain characters. So no, I think it's a step in the right direction considering the sort of oversaturated market of superhero films.
I totally agree. I mean, at the minute I'm getting less and less excited with each new superhero movie that comes out.
Yeah.
Because for the last 10 years or so, we've pretty much been having at least two or three a year at the minimum. And they range from being fantastic. Obviously, you've got Avengers Infinity War, which is fantastic. You've got the Dark Knight trilogy, which is probably one of the best.
The Dark Knight, hands down, best superhero film, live action superhero film of all time.
Yeah, but that market has definitely become saturated. And I feel like you said, it is a breath of fresh air. I think the style, the tone, the visuals, and the way it harked back to its comic book roots was something that I haven't seen in the superhero genre for a long time. It was the first film that I've seen, and I genuinely was appreciative that not only it had been made, but that I enjoyed it. It re-sparked my interest in superhero movies. I think the character of Miles was really well fleshed out. I think
that's one of the biggest reasons why I really enjoyed it. It's not a white Spider-Man for once. Yeah. It's a black Spider-Man, and Miles Morales, I think he's only been in publication since like 2011.
Really,
the Ultimate series, and Donald Glover was he plays Aaron. Aaron Davis in the MCU in Spider-Man Homecoming, and he was a massive advocate for getting a non-white Spider-Man onto the screens.
Yeah.
And there's like a little homage to him actually in Aaron Davis's apartment. There's like a poster of Donald Glover, which I think like sort of Easter egg wise, that film has been absolutely spot on. There's like little posters of, there's like alternate versions of Shaun of the Dead.
So, really?
For Edgar Wright, there's an alternate poster of that. It's called From Dusk Till Dawn, which is like what their sequel was going to be if they did one. But yeah, even Seth Rogen, like he's on a poster in that film. If you look, every time you watch it, there's something new that you pick up, and that's a really, really good film, in my opinion.
It was one of those films that it made me want to watch it again just after I'd seen it, because I was like, I knew that I'd missed a lot.
I've seen it about five times.
Really? Unfortunately, I'm still on my first viewing, but I'm hoping to remedy that over the next few weeks. But yeah,
it's so well. It doesn't get old. It's just fresh every time that you watch it.
Because I think that one of the things that struck me about the film generally was the colour scheme and the comic book panelling, and it wasn't integrated to the point where it was intrusive, but it was implemented to the point where it was noticeable and it was respectful of the source material.
They did with Deadpool. Because that was one of the biggest worries about, because obviously the Deadpool series, like part of the X-Men series, but Deadpool and Deadpool 2 alone, massive, massive films in that sense. But when they were writing that film, they didn't want to overuse sort of Deadpool's in a monologue and stuff like that. They didn't want to break the fourth wall all the time. And I think that they found that balance really well. And they've done definitely the same with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I think it was good because, like you touched on before, it was the first black Spider-Man we've ever seen. And
so it's the only Spider-Man, I think, in media to be, apart from comic book. I don't think he's been in a TV show.
See, I think the fact that they opened this new arc of Spider-Man with a multiverse, which I think was a really clever idea.
Yeah.
It allowed, it was almost a passing of the guard.
Yeah.
So obviously you've still got Spider-Man Homecoming and the live action movies, which are playing into the Avengers series and things like that, which it's good. But I think having this little offshoot where the character can develop in a way that's more organic and it doesn't have to be integrated into the Marvel Universe, which it kind of sets it apart. I think that's part of the reason why they were allowed so much creative freedom.
It's the fact that into the Spider-Verse, I can't remember who said it, but someone who worked on the film, I was saying that it literally just opens up so many possibilities. If you have like the capability of doing a multiverse, it's as broad as it is long. That can go forever, basically. I think they've already got about 3 offshoots that will go in development as we speak, to be fair. There's definitely a sequel. There's going to be Spider-Woman as well. There's going to be a film about Spider-Woman. Because that was another thing, actually. A lot of the time in all the live-action films, women are not represented properly. It's always like the damsel in distress, the very stereotypical, there's a love interest. The only sort of plot device that a love interest really is they're going to eventually get captured or they're going to be in a position where they need to be saved and that's when they swing in. Whereas Spider-Gwen in the film, straight away, she's sort of revealed as like a love interest at first, there's like a mutual attraction sort of thing, but then she just comes into her own and actually saves them, which is like a massive flip. It's like what DC did with Wonder Woman, Batman versus Superman. You've got those two fighting Doomsday, that's Marvel, and then Wonder Woman comes in and saves them. Like that's nice. Like it's moving away from the stereotypes.
Yeah,
which is really good.
Because I think that's one thing that superhero movies can be kind of penned into. The amount of times I've seen a superhero, it can be quite copy and paste in some circumstances. Obviously, there are exceptions to the norm, but generally stories follow a similar arc. And even though you could argue that Into the Spider-Verse did fall into some of those cliches in some ways, I think it definitely did break the mold.
The end was a bit of a cop out. There's when Spider-Gwen opens up the spoilers. Spider-Gwen opens up the portal and she's like, "Oh, Miles, have you got a minute?" sort of thing. Like that, it's linking them back, sort of thing. But like it's weird because even the facial expressions that are drawn sort of shows that there's like that interest still. It's weird to explain, but
I think that's
do see what you mean.
It's probably a good thing, though, in terms of it allows the potential for that plot point to be explored if it ever needs to come up in story-wise.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, they've left it so ambiguous that they can take it either way and it doesn't feel like it's forced, which I think is a clever way to write it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, like I said, like we've both said, to be fair, it's a breath of fresh air, but I feel like the genre has needed it.
Yep.
And I think it will continue to need films like this to come out to keep it relevant.
It's an absolute, like every single Hollywood blockbuster literally since, well, pretty much the Avengers, it's more or less been a Marvel film. So what, 2013, you had second Thor film, which obviously not the best sort of thing, but that was considered a blockbuster. 2014, you had The Winter Soldier, which was a phenomenal film because that broke the mold of superhero films. It wasn't, there's a superhero, there's a bad guy. It was like a political thriller, like everything that Captain America has known and he's defended and stuff. It's just completely flipped around and it's against him. And he's sort of like got that inner struggle of whether or not he should, still fight for the government and work with the government or be free and operate how he sees fit, and that's a really good concept as well. It's like sort of taking what like where we've been talking about conventional superhero themes and then doing something else with it. Like Captain America, the first one, that's like a historical sort of drama type.
Yeah.
Second one's a political thriller, and the third one,
more of an outright action movie.
Yeah, it was Avengers 2.5. It really was, but it worked better than the second Avengers because it wasn't focusing on just one bad guy. Ultron was good. I really did enjoy Ultron. The fact that they got James Spader to do Ultron, that's amazing. But the third one, Captain America 3, that was pitting all of them against each other. There's two sides of the law in a weird way.
Yeah.
So some of them are against the Accords, some of them aren't, and then that's a really good sort of, I can't really sort of find the word.
It's conflict.
Yeah, it's and it works really well because it's and that set up obviously like Avengers Infinity War and things, and now that's going to be coming full circle. And I think that was a really good way for them to develop those characters. But in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, like that's fresh. Every single person introduced there has never been seen in that universe sort of thing. Like they're all fresh. And they've done the exact same, you know, like everyone's got their own conflict in there. They all want to be the one to save the day and turn off the machine sort of thing.
They're all well developed as well.
Yeah, that is they really are.
I think the way they approached actually developing the characters as, oh, here's another backstory. Yep. This is kind of where it's coming from. The way they approached it, it made it so you were invested in all three of the main Spider-Man.
Yep. And it's sort of what I was saying.
Spider-Man, I apologize.
Plural.
And woman.
But, I forgot what I was going to say now. I'm an idiot.
Oh, it's all right. Well, the point that I was going to bring up as well was, over the course of cinema history, we've seen tropes come and go. Obviously, in the 50s and 60s, you had the Westerns.
Yep.
Then you'd go to the
Searches.
80s and 90s, you'd go through action movies, and now we're seeing the age of superheroes.
Yeah.
It just, because we've now got the computing technology to be able to realize these characters to their full potential, and I feel like that's why now we're seeing the birth of a genre shown to its full potential. But that's got to end soon, eventually.
Yep.
There's going to be a point where the public tires. Do you not think so? I feel like there's got to be a point where the public's going to get tired of paying to see what is essentially the same selection of heroes.
Thing, like superhero films, like we've said already, it's oversaturated. In the past, not even 10 years, it's already been completely oversaturated.
Mm.
But with, like it's what I was saying before, with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, they had three directors. So you had one guy who's focusing on the action. You've got another one who's focusing on like the family point of it, like the heart of it.
Yeah.
And then you've got another person who's focusing on the comedy, and they all work together to tie it. And there was, I think one of the directors might have even been female, if not, it might have been one of the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously if you've got three male directors and, you know, you've got to sort of intricately place love, family, action, stuff like that, it can be a bit boisterous.
You need that dichotomy, don't you?
Yeah, and then having like a female writer or a female director obviously allows you to have that other insight. But working with three other people allows you to do that anyway. And I think that that's the way that it should move forward, rather than, you know, a studio like, right, we need to pump out three films a year. What are we going to put on paper, right? What's going to go out? Like, no, if you get a few people who all have a pretty consistent idea and then you put them together and it makes a film like that, mate, that's the way forward, 100%.
I agree. And I feel like we're starting to see the birth of the... Previously, in the last 5 years or so, I'd say it's been changing. But before the Dark Knight trilogy, story was secondary to the action that you saw on screen.
Yes.
The action was the main plot driver. But I think the shift to a more story-approached genre is definitely going to be good for the industry and the genre going forward.
It makes you more invested. If it's balanced properly, it'll always work. Like action and comedy and the heart of it, that will always be like, you know, for especially for a comic book film. A comic book film without action is going to be, you know, that's not going to be very enjoyable. No one's going to want to sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours watching, you know, Daredevil in a courtroom. Go and investigate like the Middle East or something. Yeah, it just wouldn't be as fun if he wasn't in his cape. But
yeah, exactly. I feel like we're in interesting times at the minute, and I feel like going forward, there's a lot to be excited about. But thanks for joining me today, Chris. I think we've had a really interesting discussion there.
No worries, it's been great.
And hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Yes, we will.
It's been Ryan and Chris for the Nerd Kingdom podcast. Thank you, guys. Hope you're all doing well.